So here I'm speaking with Public Works Minister and MLA for Queens, Kim Maslin. Good afternoon, Minister Maslin.
Good afternoon, Ed. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a glorious sunny day, and I understand you're back in the constituency, and that's always good too, right?
It is. It's always great to be back at home where the heart is.
That's it. Well, you've had a busy, well, let's not lie. It's been a busy couple of months, but in particular, I wanted to speak to you today about the storm and the flood damage and everything that's come up from that. Let's talk about first, where are we right now in the recovery effort?
Yeah, so we're certainly doing very well from where we are on when we woke up the morning after the storm. Right now in the Western District, we have only 7 roads closed, 27 overall in the province. But we had 114 roads closed caused by the July 21st rainfall event. So, we mobilized very quickly, and it was just incredible to see the men and women of the Department of Public Works, to see people in the community and contractors mobilize together to try to make sure that we get these roads open, to make them safely passable as quickly as we could.
Yeah, it's. I remember seeing, obviously we all experienced this in different ways, and I remember seeing some of the comments and some frustration online, people saying, well, why is this taking so long? Why are there not more crews out there? Why is there not more work being done? I guess is the answer to that, this was an unprecedented storm. I mean, what would you tell those folks?
Yeah, so certainly I read those comments myself as well. And, some of those were pretty hard-hitting, that's for sure. Some of the suggestions that were made that I should be put in the hole and buried, some of those are, it's really concerning to see some of those. But, I can appreciate, I live in rural Nova Scotia. I travel the roads of this province daily. And I understand when the route that you're used to taking is no longer available to you, how frustrating that is. And if it adds extra time on your commute to where you're going and extra cost with the price of gas, I understand that. And the first thing I said early in the morning after the storm was for the public to have patience while the department and the contractors persevered to do whatever they could. We had contractors and public works employees, starting work at 4 a.m. and they would go to 10 o'clock at night. I remember coming back one trip that I was up and through, down through Chester, Mahone Bay, and getting late. I was coming back very late into Liverpool. And I had heard that one of the crews in Queens County was actually still working on the hill. So I picked up some pizza and with the supervisor, and we went up and we sat, and it was pretty much dark, sitting on the back of the pickup truck so they could have a slice of pizza because they hadn't stopped all day. So, I appreciate the frustration. I was frustrated on the 103 when I had to, do that detour exit, and it was congested and there was backups and it was delaying me. It seems like I never have enough time to finish what I have to finish in a run of a day. And when I get held back in construction, it frustrates me. Country girl, right? You're not used to traffic. I understand people's frustrations. But I will tell you, as the Minister of Public Works, I have never been more impressed and more proud of the people that work for this department and the contractors who worked so hard to do what they had to do. We had to bring in bridges. We had to, we did have some in stock. But, think about it. We lost 27 structures. That's significant. This was a significant blow to the provincial infrastructure in places in our province.
Look, can we talk about a moment what it, You talk about the crews and the contractors. What was it like mobilizing? First off, what was the size of the force you're mobilizing there? How many people were involved in this?
Yeah, so we had about 200 public work staff, and what we were able to do was there were places in the province, of course, that were not hit significantly as much as others. So say, for example, in Shelburne County, there was little to no damage in Shelburne County. So we were able to bring those crews that work for public works, and they were in Queens County, and they were flagging or they were doing whatever was necessary. And then we moved Queens County crew, once we had the repairs done here, to Lunenburg County. And we were bringing in from other parts of the province. So we were able to mobilize the public Works Department crew. We had about 40 private contractor crews from dozens of companies that stepped up and were there to help. I mean, the Saturday morning after the storm, I was on the road with our chief engineer at 7:30 a.m. assessing damage. Wow. And when we came down through the 103, I just could not believe what I was seeing. It was, I mean, I've seen the damage of, you know, flooding in Cape Breton when we had that storm, hurricane. I've seen a lot in this department. Actually, my deputy tells me that as a minister, I have seen more in this department in 2 years than they have experienced in 20. Wow. So it's been a busy 2 years, but, you know, going out and, you know, within hours on the 103, we had crews out there, private contractors that came in that started to dig up the pavement that had been pretty much, you know, ripped apart, removing that and hauling fill so that we could start to make the road safe. But it was incredible to see these people working so hard. I see it every day in the department. We're the department and government that literally they put their heads down and they just go to work every day to do the best they can. And not that every department doesn't do that, but I see it with my own eyes in my own department. But through this storm, like, people just came together. It's Nova Scotians. Like, whether you work for the department or whether you work for a contractor, I mean, when people need help, everyone just comes together. And that's what happened in the storm as well.
I'm curious too. Now, you mentioned there's a lot of repair work done, and it was a Herculean effort to get the roads passable. And, congratulations to you and the crew for getting that done. But I do wonder, a lot of this infrastructure, I mean, when we see these infrastructure projects, you know, for instance, the twinning on the 103 that we're looking at now, I mean, that's a multi-year project in order to get the bed down properly and get reshape the roads and make sure it's going the right way. When you're repairing these structures, for instance, that stretch in the 103 you're talking about near Chester, that was completely mm-hmm. washed away. Mm-hmm. I guess my question is, now, is that something that's going to have to be redressed again in a shorter amount of time? What's the lifespan on some of these repairs? Fixes, or is this something that will last over the long term?
No, well, I will say, like, in some locations, we tried to, there may have been some patch fixes in some of the areas just to get the road open as quickly as possible, and then to go back in and make sure that we have the right size culvert in. Every project that that the department builds now is built with the climate change lens. So when we're building new infrastructure, we're building our roads wider. We're using larger culverts to handle the water flow that may come through. We're building our bridges higher. With new infrastructure that's being built, absolutely, all built under a climate change lens. We've seen the weather activity that we've seen even in the last 2 years, as I mentioned, since I've been the Minister of Public Works, is just incredible. The power of water is just, it's amazing what it can do. I mean, I saw culverts in this last storm literally ripped out from underneath the ground and twisted and flattened by water. It's just incredible, the power. And you know, it's going to cost more when we're installing larger culverts and we're, you know, widening the roads. It all costs more, but we have to build this infrastructure with that climate change lens. I mean, it's here, it's real, we've seen it. And, you know, just to do patchwork is not the department's, that's not where we're at. But I will say in some cases, our goal was to get those roads open as quickly as we could for people. And some of them will have to go back and try to, you know, fix up much better. But the main goal was need to open these roads for people as quickly as we can.
Right, of course. Now, looking ahead, you started to give us a little bit of an update there. Where are we now on, you mentioned where we at, 7 roads are closed right now, 27 overall. Looking ahead, how long before we can expect all those roads open?
Yeah, well, some of these, you know, like these last roads that we have been severely damaged. You know, Trunk 10, severe damage. We've had surveyors in there. Expect some work to start next. Well, they're in there doing some work now. But the 103, I expect we'll see some paving started on some of those new areas that you see where we've had to rebuild. Mm-hmm. So we'll see that probably start on Monday, the paving on those areas. Okay. Sadly, the other thing here is that since we've had that rainstorm on July 21st, we've had significant rain. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty much rained every week since. So it's been difficult to get into some of these places. We had to wait for many of these places for the water to go down. So it is going to take time. But, you know, all the crews are out there working. And again, I know it's frustrating. I see the emails, I see the correspondence, and I see the Facebook messages. But I guess what I would say is we're doing the best we can as quickly as we can. And in some areas, for example, the Trunk 10, like I know it's a 6-minute detour. Yes, that is inconvenient. But when we were trying to repair these locations, we had to look at all of those factors. You know, is there even a detour available? How do we redirect traffic? How, like, what's the safety concerns for first responders to get to these places? So, you know, some of these other places, number one, it is there was an alternate detour that wasn't that extensive, and but the damage to those areas, you know, was very significant. So we'll keep working, and I hope we'll have everything completed by fall.
And you kind of touched on this already, but we are coming into hurricane season. So does the department or the crews feel like they're ready to take this on? They can still get that repair work done, and you know, are we ready if we get another Fiona?
Yeah, so I mean, certainly we have restocked, you know, our inventory for Bailey bridges, culverts, that type of thing. I will tell you that I am concerned about hurricane season. We have had a tough go, and you know, I feel like I'm suffering from, you know, PTSD of some level here from this last storm, because I still can't get over what I witnessed when I went out that morning and saw the damage. So, you know, I do worry about it. I'm watching the weather very carefully. We know the intensity of these storms is increasing. The frequency of these storms are increasing, and it is worrisome to me. It certainly is. And we'll see how Tuesday goes. They're predicting maybe a little bit of a hit in Cape Breton. So I've got my fingers crossed.
And your bag packed, I'm sure, to go.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the other thing, Ed, is through the federal government, we can apply for what's called a DMAF. So it's Disaster Mitigation Adaptation Fund. So we're constantly looking at places throughout the province, whether it's shorelines on our roads. For an example, in Queens would be the causeway that is out between Mersey Point and Western Head, and how we can further strengthen the structures that we have there because we know the activity is going to keep happening and the intensity is going to increase. So we are constantly looking to the federal government as well for funds to assist us in trying to strengthen these structures. And in some places, put structures in where the shorelines have been eroded so badly around our road systems. Mm-hmm.
I do want to touch on one last thing and something you said about the impact of seeing that devastation that first morning. You mentioned almost PTSD like symptoms. I mean, this, I guess anyone in your position or in the department, anyone going to fix this damage would have to realize that, you know, this is people's lives. These are people's homes. This is how people get around their communities. How do people cope with that? Is there any help in the department to help get people through this? What kind of programs what kind of training?
So absolutely. So we do have programs within the department through a wellness assistance program. And certainly, you know, we debrief and when we chat, I guess, you know, the people that work in this department and I know who I am, and I consider myself a very genuine, caring person, and not only as an MLA, but certainly as a minister. And I really care about the people who work in our department, and I know how hard they worked and how tired they were. But it also weighs very heavily on me when, you know, when I know that people are being affected negatively, whether it's, you know, their road has been completely washed out, their driveway's been washed out, and they don't have the funds to replace it, you know, all of that stuff. When I go to bed at night, like, I don't sleep much, Ed. Mm. I worry about those people. And, you know, and the department is there and we all help each other, and it's an incredible department to work for. It really is. I can't imagine working for any other department. And the leadership, you know, everyone takes care of everybody, especially those that are on the ground out there working. So yeah, there is programs in the department to help. It affects people. And, you know, these people who work for Public Works, you know, that are out there in the field working, most of them work in the community, live in the communities that they work in. And that is tough for them. And when they, you know, go to the grocery store to get a loaf of bread, and, you know, they are, you know, accosted because their road may not be fixed as quickly as folks want. And that's hard for them. And that bothers me as well. But, you know, I also understand that people have the abilities, and they absolutely should reach out to their elected official to let them know their frustrations. That's what those people are there for. That's what I'm there for. It's tough. It's this has been a long summer, spring, winter. It's been tough. It seems like, you know, you get through the winter months and then it's like, okay, now we can start replacing culverts because you only have a certain amount of time that you can put. We can, you know, usually put them in without applying for permits and that type of thing. And then we've been hit with this. And then, of course, the other thing is, you know, we have the largest capital plan for highways that this province has ever seen. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, we have times that we want to build timeframes that we want to be able to complete this construction, because this construction is good for Nova Scotians. This is improving our roads. It's making it safer for them to travel. And then when we have to pull crews off of sites to do repairs, it puts us behind as well. So, you know, the Michelin interchange is a prime example. Mm-hmm. We had crews on that, and we had to pull crews from there to go fix Goats Lake Bridge. Right. So, you know, now we're behind another 3 weeks on the Michelin project. So it's a balancing act for all of it. But obviously the most important thing is making sure that people can get out and move to where they need to go.
Yeah. Yeah, it almost feels like, you know, you go from autumn to winter to spring to monsoon season to a bit of summer, yeah, and now hurricane season's back on us.
And now hurricane season, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
All right.